When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details. Because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose, by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Small and Microcap News on Tuesday, the 28th of October, 2025. In 2 months' time, Christmas and Boxing Day, all that will be over. Yeah, it's crazy to think that, isn't it? More good news from the government. The government is facing a bigger-than-expected hole. Is it a hole? In the public finances, as it prepares for next month's budget, the downgrade to the UK's productivity performance from the government's official forecaster could leave the Chancellor facing a £20 billion gap in meeting her tax and spending rules. I guarantee it's going to be more than that. Guarantee it. Rachel Reeves has confirmed both taxes and spending cuts are options in next month's budget. Well, they weren't in the manifesto, were they? Hey, not going to tax working people. The forecaster had previously assumed a partial bounce back in productivity growth, but it has never materialised. The OBR is understood to have downgraded the forecast for productivity by 0.3 percentage points, bringing its assumption closer to that of the Bank of England. Yes, and every other forecaster. The OBR is always overly optimistic. They're not independent at all. They're playing the tune of the government, once in a play. But it's like any company. You know, what you prefer in any company as a CEO is under-promise, over-deliver. OBR is doing the opposite. They're over-promising, under-delivering all the time, and it ends up, you know, a bigger black hole than we needed, and have to go back and raise more taxes, more funding. Anyway, the Institute of Fiscal Studies think tank has calculated that for every 0.1 percentage point downgrade in the productivity forecast, government borrowing would increase by £7 billion in 2029-2030, meaning a 0.3 percentage point cut would add £21 billion to the budget hole. The changes open up an initial gap of some £20 billion, rather than the £10 to £14 billion that was widely anticipated. So there's two issues here, I see. First and foremost, number one, the OBR are overly optimistic. Every time. Their forecasts are way above consensus and everything else. Bank of England, you know, and all these private banks to do forecasts, the big banks of the world. They're always above them, you know, to the positive side. And it doesn't work. because the figures come out and you look like idiots. So don't overpromise. And secondly, it's the expansion of the public sector. It's not, we're talking about productivity here. I mean, you know, it'll help with AI, I'm sure. AI will help over the next couple of years. But the public sector is very unproductive. It's very inefficient. It needs to be slimmed down. And as an example, the private sector productivity, this is the private sector, okay? These are people who have to work and make a profit and have to be lean and efficient to make a living. The private sector productivity is over 3% higher than in 2019, so pre-pandemic, okay? The public sector productivity is nearly 5% below its pre-pandemic level. That's unbelievable, isn't it? So the private sector continues to improve, you know, and generating more profits, therefore investing in people. And what does the Chancellor do? Raise taxes on those businesses, choking them, pretty much, so they can't be any more productive, and basically funnels it into the public sector. Since 1997, private sector's productivity has improved by 40%, whereas the public sector productivity, since it's 1997, you know, what's that? Almost 28 years. In 28 years, private sector has improved productivity by 40%. The public sector productivity has increased by 4% since 1997. So it's quite obvious. If you invest more money into the less productive sector of our society, it's no surprise what the results are. You generally have a less productive economy. You have to slim down the state and invest in the private sector. At the moment, Rachel Reeves and a growth plan is doing it the other way around. And on top of that, you're a forecaster who's always looking through rose-tinted spectacles. It can all change, though. AI, get rid of a couple of hundred thousand people, you know, from the state, and just put AI bots in there. It'll get better. Okay, let's look at the market, shall we? What's time? Just to put in context, it's 9 minutes to 4 on Tuesday, 20th of October. Let's look at the markets first of all. FTSE 100 up 0.5%, all-time high, 9,700 points. It's going to get a 10,000, unless you have some kind of crash or correction before the end of the year. 10,000, nailed on, FTSE 100, yeah. The Stock 600, which is, of course, European bourses, composite, it's down 0.25%, 5.75. S&P at the moment, it's flat, did a nice rise yesterday, 6.875, so equaling pretty much the all-time high. The FTSE small cap, it's pretty much flat, 7.425. The Russell 2000, 2,513, it's down 31%. What do you got? The fledgling, I haven't mentioned the fledgling. I'll get rid of that. Who cares about the fledgling? I'm getting rid of that. FTSE 250, it's down 0.25%. To 22461. The NASDAQ up 0.25% again, all-time high, 23699. It's going on for 234. It's got there. Next stop, 24,000. What else is it? The world index is pretty much flat, 666. That's the FTSE All World Index, all-time high. And the AMOL share, again, bucking the trend of everything else, it's down 0.33%. 770. It needs to get about 777. That's previous support and resistance. Let's have a look at commodities. Brent crude is down 2.68% to 64.24. So the sort of four-day rally we had off the back of Trump. I don't know if these... you never really know if it's happened, do you? You know, when he's putting sanctions on two of Russia's biggest oil producers, Lukoil and Rosneft. I don't know if it actually happens, to be honest. Anyways, down 2.7% a day. 64.24 bucks a barrel. Let's have a look at gold. Gold is down 1% today. Now it's 8.8% pretty much off its recent high. Recent high, of course, was on 20th of October. And like I said, it'll take months now to consolidate and regroup and make a new high. Last time it sort of made a big high like this, sort of. It takes, let's have a look. 3-4 months to get back to the previous high now. Unless something, you know, collapses in the global economy, it won't go any higher for a bit. the run has happened. The good, fast run in gold has happened. It's done, everyone. You know, just, to, you know, whenever, the time to get back into gold when it's literally, it hasn't gone anywhere for 5 years. That's the time. That's, it's, you know, once in a 3-5 year opportunity gold, you know, rallying at that. But it'll go sideways. It won't crash. It'll go sideways for a while. And it goes, it'll stay on this level. And then when people have lost interest in it, it'll rally again. And all the sellers are out, all the weak hands, or the old glass hands, what are they called? When they're all out, you know, it'll pick back up. But it should go sideways for a while. I don't know that. I'm just saying. Oh, I didn't mention the Dow Jones. Dow Jones, all-time high. It's up 31%, 47,694. What about copper? Copper's down 0.25% to 5. What is this? The pound. It's the pound of copper. 5.15. I find it easier than saying tons, to be honest. And Bitcoin. It is trying to get above 116. It's hit that a couple of times. 116,000, but it's at 114,714 at the moment. Dollar index is, of course, a dollar against a basket of currencies. It's up 31%. No, it's not. I'm the wrong one. It's pretty flat. 98.706. The government bond yields in the UK 2 year is down 0.6% to 3.7. That's good. That's going down after those figures about the OBR, because you know you're gonna have to borrow more. That's essentially what's happening here with Rachel Reeves. But maybe the spending cuts and raising taxes also is having a downward, you know, effect on that. So anyway, that's a 2 year, 3.76. Where is it down? It's now breaking down below previous support levels. 3.76, where are you now? We are at that, and sort of going a bit lower. Yeah, 3.8 was pretty much support level previously in 6th of August, 27th of June, and the 1st of May. And it did dip down back to that in 24, but yeah, it's looking downward trend starting to happen here. Now, the 10-year yield also down at 31%. I say also, 2 years down 0.6%, but 31% to 4.39 is the yield. Again, below previous support. So nice trajectory there. And the 30-year is down 0.7% to 5.159. These look like they're rolling over, these yields. It's very good. Bond prices are going up, yields coming down. Of course, it'll cost the government less to borrow money. A pound will buy you €1.13, and it'll buy you $1.32. So we are seeing the pound weakening here. Interest rates coming down, are they? Of course, with the Fed decision on Wednesday, I think, for interest rates coming down, that's pretty much nailed on. But listen, the Bank of England probably not going to reduce rates until December, but they're going to be behind the curve. And I think the Fed are going to stop quantitative tightening. And if the Bank of England don't do that, then you know, there's going to be a bit of pressure on them. So everyone else, every other central bank is, you know, stopping quantitative tightening and reducing rates. What are you doing, Mr. Bailey?
Well, we've got to take your time and see what's happening in the economy. There's still some inflation worries out there.
Nonsense. It's a stage, of course. High interest rates can play into inflation figures. That's the trouble. Okay, let's go to the microcap database. At sharepickers.com, become a member, 40% off right now. And that is the price of half a pint of beer from the pub. That's all it is. I'm not going to do dials. I don't see anything in it, really. Dial is ticker there. Let's do IG design. They've had a bit of a nightmare. IGR's ticker. The design manufacturer sources and distributes a range of products for occasions across the globe. The company works with retailers, offering a full end-to-end service.
Oof, I say.
From design through distribution. It manufactures, distributes celebrations, craft and creative play, stationery, gifting, and not-for-sale consumable products like gift wrap paper and all that stuff. In fact, let me just look at this. At 56 pence a share, the market cap is 53 million. They did have a bit of cash, but they've also got a bit of debt now. So they did a half-year trading update, pretty much. Supports confidence in delivering full-year guidance. So they say, this is the 30th of September 2025. This is the group's first half performance, reaffirms the board's expectations that full-year revenues are in line with the previous guided range of $270 to $280 million. Entering the second half, the group benefits from a strong order book visibility at 91%, providing the confidence that full-year performance will remain aligned with guidance. IGR have had a dreadful 12 months, but it looks like it could be coming to an end now. It could be out of the back end of the storm. They're still in the storm, still a bit volatile. Just to explain, their US operations, DG Americas, was sold to Hilco in May 2025 for $1. Yeah. This was loss-making and the market's backdrop was getting worse, pretty much. So it's good they got out of it. This relieves IGR of any future liabilities. And if Hilco sells the business for a profit in some way, IGR will get 75% of the sale. However, I would not pin hopes on this generating a positive return. So I said, they only sold it for $1. Why? Because that's probably what it's worth. If it does, they do sell it for a bit of a profit, or they manage to sell it, then they'll get some upside. If Hilco just run it as operations, they'll get nothing, IGR. The remaining part of the business is in the UK, continental Europe, and Australia, and these businesses have less complex models, they say, and a strong heritage that benefit from long-established and stable relationships with major retailers. However, revenue for the period is expected to be 13% lower than the prior year. This reflects the market headwinds previously communicated at the time of the full-year results, principally softer demand in the UK and the tariff impact on the UK sales into the US, but also competitive pricing pressures in Europe. So even that part of the business doesn't sound very good. So they're looking at 62% drop in revenue for 2026, but this is largely because of the sale of DG Americas. Okay, this also takes out some losses. But the loss is going to be about $206 million top line, down 62%, and a net loss of $2.76 million. Okay. But they are expected to return to a profit and growth in 2027. They expect to post 3% top-line growth to $212.4 million and a net profit of 5.6, which will put them on a PE of 9. And if they're net cash, I think, at the cash at the moment, no, I'm not going to say EV earnings, but 9. Now, if this happens, you know, it could rally. It should rally, to be honest. But it's not without its risk, to be honest. Namely, they sell low-value margin gift wrapping, gift bags, cards, and party wear. So it may rally, but it's a recovery play. It's not a type of business model without competition, operating against a tough market backdrop. You're thinking, if you want to start a business right now, would it be this business, gift wrapping and all that stuff, party hats, all that stuff? You've hardly got a moat, have you? So like I said, it could have a good rally off a horrible sort of 12 months. But longevity, you know, maybe it's good for a punt when it starts improving. You know, put a, maybe a let's put a little chart here. Maybe put a, an alert in the chart. Let's have a look here. It's in a bit of a range here. I think if it gets about 60 pence, it's at 56 pence now, and it closes above that, then it could be on for a little rally. In fact, I'll just put a little bit into this. So, but you get, again, when you look, if you're an investor, you look at businesses, you think, would I really want to be owning a business like this? And the answer to that would be no. Next, let's have a look. React Group, REIT. These have had to turn around a little bit. So the UK's leading specialist and contract cleaning business and operates with three divisions. Ladders Free, one of the largest commercial window cleaning businesses in the UK, Fidelis Contract Services, a contract cleaning and facilities maintenance business, and React Business, which primarily provides a solution to emergency and specialist cleaning situations, both through long-term framework agreements and an ad hoc basis. So essentially, for example, if it's like a, I don't know, horrible situation in a hospital or train, I don't know, because of the tracks and there's cleaning needed, they sort that out. You know, something blows up somewhere, as well as window cleaning and other things. Right, at 53 pence, you've got a market cap here, so it's a micro cap at 12.5 million. Enterprise value, in fact, that's not accurate now because they're full year results, they had a bit of net debt there. At the last sort of half year results, they had net debt of 1 million can be the net cash the full year, 30th of 9th September last year, of 1 million. So that was, I think, to acquire one of the businesses. Let's scroll down here. So trading update for half year. So revenue is 25 million versus 20.7, so decent growth there. What's that? 25%, 21%. Gross profit, 8 million versus 5.7. Adjusted EBITDA, I'm not a big fan of adjusted EBITDA, at least 3 million versus 2.4. Net debt, 5.3, really, versus net cash of 1 million, including 2.9 million drawn down and from a new 3.5 million term loan used to fund the acquisition of 24 Aquaflow services. Okay, so well, that's a lot of debt there then. The board is pleased to report strong trading performance for the financial year ended 30th of September, with results ahead of previously revised market expectations. Market expectations refer to compiled. Anyway, market expectations are for 25 million top line growth, but net profit of 1.7 million loss. This is down to the acquisition, of course. But even for 2026, top line growth of 4%, but still a net loss of 700K. So 2027, they're looking at 27.8 million, up 7% on 26, and 600K profit, which is 186% growth, but that will put on a PE of 21. So, yeah, I'm not convinced of that. Not convinced of React Group there, to be honest. What else is there? Oh, Time Finance. What is wrong with the market? Let me tell you something here, right? So today, Time Finance just did a notice of trading update and investor presentations. What do they do? So Time Finance, the purpose is to help UK businesses thrive and survive through the provision of flexible funding facilities, offers a multi-product range for SMEs, considering asset, loan, and invoice finance. At 51 pence a share, they are just a 46 million market cap, that's 4.6, enterprise value 41. Okay? And they came out today, and they said, this is H1 trading update, ongoing positive trading momentum provides the board with confidence the group financial performance for full year 25-26 will be at least in line with current market expectations. They've said this before. And when they say this, generally what happens is they beat. Because of course, already, and in fact I interviewed James Roberts, the CFO, and already back then when I talked to him, they were saying, you know, 9 months ahead of results, they were saying that they were going to be at least in line with expectations. So, you know, even if things go badly, they're going to be at least in line with expectations. And by the way, these expectations are excellent. You know, you're talking about growth top line, okay, it's mid-single digit, and growth bottom line, mid-single digit. But they're on a PE of 7. 7. Now, they're going to beat that because they say at least in line. Now, don't listen to commentators who haven't researched the stocks or they're a subprime lender. They're not. I talked to James, the CFO, about this. He said there's three tiers of borrower. Tier 1, okay, they're blue chip companies who normally get loans from banks. Tier 2, small and medium-sized enterprises, well, banks turn their back on, pretty much, but banks loan to alternative finance providers like Time Finance, okay? And they loan to them. And there's Tier 3, subprime. Time do not loan to those. They also said Time do very well in tough economic times and boom times. Because when there's tough economic times, you know, companies are very resilient. They don't go through straight away. They basically soldier on. They get through it, most of them. You get some to go through, but they tend to need more loans. And then boom times, of course, people are spending. So we are now pretty much in this area in between. We're not in a recession. We're not in a boom time. So they're doing well, but they're going to do better as well. So, you know, it's, and the margins going up in this business. It's a good quality business. And, you know, there's a panel of lenders, 6 or 7 lenders they get. So no risk there. And I think their biggest loan is less than 3%. The total book, so it's no risk at all on that side of it, you know? I think it's less than that, actually. So revisit time, ignore the people who just passed comment on it, who haven't really researched the company. You know, they are inaccurate. And lastly, Ultimate Products. Ticker there is ULTP. This is the audited results. The year ended 31st of July. I've got to say straight away, I don't really see how this company is going to do well. They talk about it. So they're the owner of a number of leading homeware brands, including Salter, the UK's oldest houseware brand, and Beldre. They sell to over 300 retailers across 38 countries. I don't think Salter, okay, it's a fine brand, but I just think this is the kind of company that doesn't really have a moat at all, nothing special. You know, a lot of the stuff can be imported from China. It probably is made in China, to be honest. And so I don't see why they are the middleman, aren't they, really? Does there need to be a middleman? I don't know. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh on them, but Ultimate Products, so share price, 60 pence. Where did they move today? ULTP, 63 pence. So 63 pence, market cap of 50 million, enterprise value 64. So they've got now debt of 18 million, cash of 4. So let's scroll down here. Revenue for the year, down 6%, 79.5 million. Net profit, down 49%, 3.6 million. Net debt increased 122% to 17.7 million, up from 8 million. So it doubled. Free cash outflow of 352K versus inflow of 11.9 million. So it's been a very tough year for ULTP, with sales and profits down, but worryingly, debt has increased by 122%. And next year is not going to get any better by the looks of forecasts. They're looking at 2026. Revenue down 7% to 138.9 million. Net profit down 19% to 4.7 million. So they are looking to return to for growth a little bit in 2027, 143 million. And net profit up 17% to 5.5, puts them on a PE of 9, EV earnings 12. And I can't see why they were buying back their own shares when the shares are likely to go lower. They're not improving and their debt is growing. Their dividend is also around 6%, which has been, you know, they did cut the dividend in half. But I can't see this being sustainable if trading continues to deteriorate. I'd say avoid for now. It could be worth a punt if they hit those 2027 numbers. That's a long way off, let's be honest. And I can't see, again, it's like IGR, isn't it? They're selling a product that, it's not unique. They may have the Salter brand, big deal. Is everyone really that loyal to Salter? I'm sure we had a Salter sort of weighing machine here or something, but, or weighing scales, whatever. But I don't really care. You know, oh, it's got to be Salter. I'm not trusting that weighing machine unless it's Salter. I don't care. Does anyone care? The Salter brand. On that note, so Ultimate Products. I don't know if they are the Ultimate Products. They're just products, aren't they? That's it. Thanks for listening. For the Share Pickers podcast, by all means. It's the end of the podcast now, where I tend to mumble for a little bit. By the way, if you do listen to the podcast and like it and get some, you know, some value from it, please, I implore you. So I spend, all day compiling the figures for the website, and the podcast takes me a while to do, of course. So for that time, please invest a bit of your time. Go to a podcast platform, give me a 5-star rating and review. More people will listen, and then more people will join the Sheepickers Investment Club, hopefully. And of course, you get 40% off. It's the price of a McDonald's Filet-O-Fish. In fact, it's not. It's 40% cheaper than a Filet-O-Fish. Huh? Crazy. Per week, that is, of course. I'm assuming you don't eat a Filet-O-Fish every day of the week. Whatever. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The contents of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.